Evening, as we continue our study here through this particular psalm. And I love the book of Psalms, and there's so many encouraging. I mean, obviously, all of the Bible is profitable for us, but you go to the Psalms and the transparency of the psalmist and the opportunity to be encouraged and comforted and to be reminded, and just repeated themes throughout the book. And it's just a real blessing to consider truth that our God is worthy of our praise. And last Sunday evening, in fact, or Wednesday evening, excuse me, as we started into the psalm, we addressed the gift of music and the fact that God wants to hear us sing. And I'm so thankful that God has given to us the ability to lift our voices and to praise our God. And as the Bible begins here, sing aloud unto God our strength. And we spoke about the importance of the fact that we're singing to God, but also that we're to sing aloud. We have someone and something to sing about. And what a blessing to consider. We referenced, and then Brother Mike Amaro referenced on Sunday evening as well, there Paul and Silas, as they were in the jail, and at midnight they were singing and praising the Lord, and they were praying, and the Bible says that they were singing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And so they were singing to God, and they were singing aloud because other people heard them. And what a blessing to be able to sing. Our songs are first and foremost to glorify God. Amen. Our music is to glorify God. And we understand that our music, the songs that we sing, not only to glorify God, they should minister to our hearts, encourage us and strengthen us. And God puts a song in your heart. I was sharing with somebody last Wednesday evening after the service how every once in a while God just puts a song in your heart. Maybe it's a different song just a few days, or maybe it's the same song kind of repeated and repeated. And for probably 6 or 8 weeks now, I was walking around singing part of that song, Bring Them In, Hark, 'Tis the Shepherd's Voice, and I'm just singing it and just going. And then we sang it on Sunday, and I guess we had not had the opportunity to sing it for a while, because since Sunday it's not been in my head anymore. But it's just one of those things. Sometimes God just gives you a song, gives it maybe for a season, for a particular reason, but it encourages, ministers to our heart. We understood as we looked at the book of Colossians, our music is to teach us. It's to teach us. The great hymns of the faith, they reinforce Bible truth, and they remind us of the truth of God's Word. And as we're singing the songs, we have opportunity to think about Scripture verses that would have been impactful in the lives of those that were writing those songs. And what a blessing. But then we also think about the impact that our song will have around others or in the lives of others. And how many of you ever have someone pull up next to you and they're blaring their music and you wish they weren't? Has it ever happened to you? And you're like, I'm not sure how you're sitting inside of that vehicle, and you're not going to be able to hear in a few years, and you have all those thoughts and so on and so forth. And I'm not suggesting that we should blare our music in that same fashion. But the thing is that when God puts a song in your heart and you're singing it, and it's a biblical song, it's a song that glorifies God, it's a song that have some mention of biblical truth in it, then we'll have an opportunity to be able to impact others. Think about this just for a moment. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Amen? Just think about it. We get to sing about Jesus. I mean, we got a little video from Juliana this afternoon with Nova singing in the back seat, Jesus loves me, this I know. Man, just bless my heart. A little two-year-old singing, Jesus loves me. Listen, it's still a precious song to me, and it's a precious song to us. And the reality is that we get to sing about Jesus. We get to sing about redemption. Aren't you thankful to be saved? Saved, how I love to proclaim it. I mean, you think about being saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And what a joy to sing about the one who died for us, the one who lives for us, the one that intercedes for us, the one who's coming back for us. And we begin to think about all of these wonderful truths in the ministry of music. Now, this particular psalm, as you're reminded through the last couple of weeks of studying through Psalm 81, that this psalm is associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, and thus the remembrance of deliverance from Egypt is a theme that we see within this particular psalm. Why? Because it's a psalm that's associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, and one of those main purposes of the Feast of Tabernacles was to remind the people of God about their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. And so I've titled the message this evening, we're just going to look at verses 4, 5, and 6, went out of Egypt, went out of Egypt. So look at verse 4, 5, and 6 with me. Notice what the Bible says. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. As we see in verses 4, 5, and 6, we find that God is giving truth again to the nation of Israel through this psalm, and he begins, "Sing aloud unto God our strength," and that aspect, as we looked last week at Psalm 100, enter into his presence with thanksgiving, into his gates with singing. And we understand that now as we get into verses 4, 5, and 6, again, this reference, if you will, to this deliverance. And I'm thankful that we have this truth of God's word with regard to the deliverance that God afforded his people from Egypt, but then understanding, of course, our deliverance from the world as well, from the bondage of sin. They were in bonds in Egypt, but we were in bonds to sin, and we've been delivered, and praise God for that. And as we look here at the text of Scripture, I want you to just consider a couple of thoughts with me this evening. Number one, remember his directive. Remember his directive. Sometimes we speak about the directives of the Lord or the commandments of the Lord. Sometimes we can think of those and have a wrong mindset. There are people that have said to me over the years, well, you know, the Bible is just a book of all of these rules of do's and don'ts and so on and so forth. And I've constantly and consistently said to people that have that perspective that they really have a faulty perspective. And they need to go to the Bible with a different approach and understand that God loves us so much that God is giving us directives. He's given us commandments. He's given us instruction that's good for us, that we need. Not very many people are getting mad at the chemical company that puts a warning label on the bottle of product that they're selling because it could cause death. No, they say, thank you for putting the label there that we know that we can't have. You understand what I'm saying? And so God, who created us, that knows all things, he's given us directives. He's given us commandments. He's given us instruction, and it's for our good. And notice, if you will, in verse number 4, he uses the word statute. He says, for this was a statute for Israel. And a statute is a prescribed task. So think about this in verse 1 and 2 as we begin to think about, and really verse 3 as we recap what we dealt with last week. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this, that what I just read in verse 1-3, for this was a statute for Israel. This was a prescribed task. Several weeks ago when we started studying into Psalm 81, we really didn't look at Psalm 81 at all on that introduction lesson. Why? We went back to Leviticus and to Exodus, and we spoke about the Feast of Tabernacles. What is it? And if we're going to understand the psalm, it was helpful for us to have some, lay some groundwork as to what is the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we did that. And so we find that here in verse number 4 that the author says, for this was a statute for Israel. Of course, we know that David is the human penman, and Asaph is the penman for this psalm, and he says that this was a statute for Israel, this prescribed task. Well, who prescribed it? God. Read the book of Leviticus, you read the book of Exodus, you begin to understand the truth that God gave with regard to the Feast of Tabernacles and how they were to, what they were to do. It was a statute for Israel. But then he uses this phrase at the end of verse number 4, and a law of the God of Jacob. Now, the law is a permanent rule, and it carries with it this idea. It's a permanent rule prescribed by the supreme power. That's God. Now, the definition is that it's a supreme power of a state to its subjects. But we understand that this is God to His people, and He is the supreme being. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And it's the purpose of the law is to regulate their actions. And so here in verse number 4, we find that what God is saying to His people is that this was a statute, a prescribed task. This was a law of the God of Jacob. This was a permanent rule that was prescribed by God to His people to regulate their actions. There was something specific that God wanted them to do. Can I tell you this? There was a specific way that God wanted them to come. And we find that throughout the Old Testament, we learn valuable truth with regard to how we approach God. Man must approach God on his terms, not their terms, and his being God. We must approach God on his terms. I can't just come to God any old way that I want. You read about Cain and Abel. You learn that very quickly, do you not, when you begin reading the book of Genesis? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Is that not what God says? But if not, then sin lieth at the door. We find that there's a right way to approach God, and then there's man's way that would be foreign to the scriptures that is not the acceptable way. They that worship Him, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we find that God gives, and it's again a reminder to remember His directive, that it was a statute, it was a law. In verse number 5, notice what the Bible says, this He ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. Now consider with me here in verse number 5, this phrase when it says to begin the verse, this He ordained in Joseph for a testimony. And I begin to look here in verse number 4, this directive, this statute, this law. But then in verse number 5, when he says this He ordained, that word ordained means to appoint something, to institute something. And this He ordained in Joseph, notice what it says, for a testimony, as a witness, as a declaration. And so we find that here in Psalm 81 in verse number 5, that God is revealing to His people through this psalm, the Psalm of Asaph, that there's a purpose for God's directive, and it's made known. God says in verse number 4 of Psalm 81, this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This He ordained. It was God who appointed or instituted this. This was not the idea of Moses. Moses wasn't sitting around with Aaron and others and say, you know, I think we ought to have. No, that's not how it happened. God ordained this. And notice it says in Joseph, for a testimony. Can I tell you this evening that God has a purpose for everything? God has a purpose for everything. And we begin to look here and we are reminded and we're saying that we are to remember His directive. And here the children of Israel, as you would look at this psalm, they're being reminded, why are we doing this? Well, because God ordained it. Because God instituted it. God appointed it. God ordained this. Why? As a testimony, as a witness or a declaration. Now, as we've studied about the Feast of Tabernacles, we understand that it was partially to remind the children of Israel about their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. So when they would, and then God's provision for them as they were in the wilderness. And so as they would have annually the opportunity to observe this particular feast, it would be a reminder of God's directive, that God instituted this, that God ordained this, and we're following God's way. Not only remember His directive, but number 2, as you look at Psalm 81, I want you to consider with me, remember His deliverance. Remember His deliverance. And so we see the directive that God says there's a statute, there's a law, that this was something that He ordained in Joseph for a testimony. But then we remember His deliverance. It says in verse number 6, notice the verbiage here, I removed his shoulder from the burden. Were not the people of God burdened while they were in Egypt? I mean, they were crying out to God, were they not? Now, we understand after the deliverance, there were times in which they cried out and they complained and they said, would to God we were back in Egypt. How soon they were to forget how bad it was in Egypt and how good it was that God had delivered them. But we find that as we look here that God says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. So again, we must acknowledge that it was God who did it. Now, we know, we can go back to the account in the book of Exodus and we can read about the Exodus and God's deliverance and we can understand with great clarity that God did it. And we can understand that the children of Israel, those that were there experiencing that first generation as they would go forth, they were eyewitnesses of God's great power, they knew that God did it. Can I encourage you this evening? They had to acknowledge that there was no other way that they would have deliverance. It was only through God. They were hopeless and helpless without God. Is that not true? I mean, they were enslaved. They were in bondage. They were burdened. And when Moses first comes and says to Pharaoh, let my people go, that's what God said, and they're going to go and sacrifice. And we understand how things became progressively worse and all that was taking place. And Moses even comes to a point and says, God, since I first came, it's just gotten worse for them. And God says, just wait, you're going to see. You're going to see my hand. You're going to see what I'm going to do and how I'm going to deliver. And so we find that here as the psalm continues and we see that God is the one that removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. And you know, it's interesting because it was those pots that sometimes they reference back to in the moments of difficulty and complaining, was it not? When they would talk about sitting around the pots and having this and having that. And God is reminding them that his hands were, notice the word, delivered from the pots. And you know, it's interesting because we begin to look here and understand and we're reminded of not only God's directive that they were to observe this Feast of Tabernacles, that it was a statute and a law, that it was appointed by God to be a testimony or a witness to them, that it would be in that same time that as they followed God's directive, they were at the very same time being reminded of God's deliverance. Isn't that pretty awesome? So think with me this evening that as they were observing the Feast of Tabernacles, as they were going through the process of following the directive, the statute and the law that God prescribed, that as they were doing that properly, they were at the very same time remembering God's deliverance. See, why is that important? Because God's directives, God's commandments always have a purpose. And they're always designed for us as the people of God to recognize the glory of God and to recognize what He has done. And it brings us to that place of praise. Remember, when you think about the Feast of Tabernacles, there was praise that was going on. And yes, they were thinking about the harvest and all of those things that were going on. But the reality is that this was a time of great jubilee for the children of Israel. Let me begin to think about us as New Testament believers. Obviously, as we look here at the text of Scripture, and we find that this is referring to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a statute for Israel. It says specifically in verse number 4, a law of the God of Jacob. Jacob, of course, would be Israel. And so we understand that as a local church, we're not observing the Feast of Tabernacles. We can learn from it. But then we begin to think about some of the directives that God has given to us as a local church. As you go into the New Testament, you begin to think about the church, and you think about the instructions that God has given to us. It's interesting, the verbiage in verse number 5 when it says, this He ordained. You begin to think about this appointment or that He appointed or instituted something. It was a witness or a declaration, a testimony. And I think about the ordinances for the local church. Is it not God that ordained baptism and the Lord's Supper? It was not just some creation of some religion or some religious group of people. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who gives to the local church these two ordinances. And we speak about, in fact, on Sunday evening, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And you begin to consider with me and understand the importance of the Lord's Supper. And as we go over to 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to touch on this a little bit on Sunday evening. But let me just remind you, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, when we read about the Lord's Supper, and I'm not going to get into all of it this evening, I just want to draw a parallel application for us tonight as we look at what God is saying to the children of Israel through this psalm and this reminder of the Feast of Tabernacles. But then understanding that God's given us some directives. And when He's given us some directives, some instruction for us as a local church, it's designed to remind us of the deliverance, the redemption that we have through Christ. Notice, if you will, in verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says this to the church in Corinth, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said," so Jesus is giving the instruction. Paul is saying, as he mentions in verse 23, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." And so the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I'm not just giving you my idea. I'm not just giving you my instruction for the Lord's Supper. No, I've received of the Lord, and now I'm delivering it to you. And he then references about the night that Jesus was betrayed and that he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do what? In remembrance of me." It's on the front of our Lord's Supper table. You see it each time you come in to the sanctuary. And then he mentions in verse 25, "After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, pause with me just for a moment. We see what's happening in Psalm 81 with the Feast of Tabernacles, and we understand the directive, and we're to be the children of Israel, they're to remember His, God's directive, they're to remember His, God's deliverance. But then as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we find that God has given us directive. He's given to us instruction, a command. He says in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," God does not give us a specific prescribed time for how often we observe the Lord's Supper. He just simply says, "For as oft as ye do." Now, for the children of Israel, when you look at the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a prescribed time of the year for a particular duration of time that they were to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to say that the Lord's Supper is the replacement of the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm simply saying tonight that as we look at the Old Testament truth, that we find that God has given to us some of the same types of things that He gave to Israel. And He gave these things to Israel. Why? Because humans are prone to forget. It's not that they forgot that they came out of Egypt. It's not that that first generation forgot, or even generations down the road would have forgotten about their deliverance, but it doesn't maybe matter as much. It's just not on the forefront of their memory, and it's not something that really impacts them. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, it's interesting, you don't need to turn there, but we find that as we consider the Lord's Supper, and obviously the truth of baptism as well, that we have the opportunity to be able to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. And it's interesting because in 2 Peter, the Bible says in chapter 1 and verse number 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now, is it that he forgot, like he didn't know he was saved anymore? No, it's not. That's not really the idea of it. It's just not that we're every day walking in the fact that, man, I am redeemed by the grace of God. I am heaven bound because of what Jesus did for me, and it's not at the forefront of our minds. And so God gave to us the Lord's Supper, and we find that He told us that as oft as we eat this bread and drink this cup, what do we do? You do show the Lord's death till He come. And so we find that the gospel is clearly given to us with regard to observing the Lord's Supper and understanding the fact that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, the just for the unjust, He's perfectly righteous, but His body was broken for us, that His precious blood was shed for us. There's nothing about the elements of the Lord's Supper that could ever save a person, but they certainly remind the saved person of what it cost for us to be saved. Amen? Often as we think about the latter chapters of the gospel records, in fact, I think, and I mentioned this several years ago, anytime you feel like you're kind of getting in a spiritual rut, you kind of feel like it's just kind of, things aren't going so well, just read the last couple of chapters of each of the Gospels. Because you'll be reminded of what Jesus did for you, how much He loves you. He went to that cruel cross and He suffered and He bled and He died. Horrific death. Why? So that we could be saved. You'll read how He was buried. You'll read how He rose again. And how He gave command. I mean, those chapters at the end of each of the Gospels, they will cause you to be stirred up. I mean, they'll bring that level of revival that we need as believers. And we find this evening that when we observe the Lord's Supper, listen, it's not just a spiritual thing. It's not a religious, I shouldn't use the word spiritual thing. It's not a rote religion. It's not just a, it's time to observe the Lord's Supper and let's pass around a little long tonight and we got to do the Lord's Supper like we got to get through this. No, like we are being reminded of what Jesus Christ, God in flesh, did for us on the cross of Calvary. And it's not something that should become mundane to us. It's not just a mindless exercise, a dead orthodoxy type of a task or an approach. No, we're being reminded of what cost our Savior so that we could be redeemed. When I observe the Lord's Supper, I'm reminded that I'm saved. Because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The elements, again, they can't save you. We understand that. We teach it plainly that He says, this do in remembrance of me. That it's a picture, it's a type, it's a memorial. And we find that He says, you do show the Lord's death till He come. The bread is always bread and the grape juice is always grape juice. There's nothing magical or anything that happens to it. No, it stays in that very form that it is, but it's a reminder of the body of my Savior that was broken for me. Of His blood that was shed for me. And can I tell you this evening that we need reminders of this. And that's why the Lord gave us the Lord's Supper. And it's different than the Feast of Tabernacles. It's different than what we're reading about in Psalm 81 as we study this particular psalm. But I'm reminded this evening that even as I study Psalm 81 and I see contextually for the children of Israel that they're on an annual basis to observe this Feast of Tabernacles and that they're to be reminded that it's a directive from God, that He is the one that established, that ordained this practice in Israel to be a testimony so that they would remember something. And what was it that they're remembering? Their deliverance. Because He says there, as we looked in verse number 6 of Psalm 81, He makes it very plain that it was Him, the Lord, that delivered. I removed His shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. I know that as we study the nation of Israel and we study their history, there are many times in which they complain and they murmur and they say, oh, that we're back in Egypt and all of those things. Anytime they faced a difficulty, it seems as if they're ready to get someone to lead them back into Egypt. I'm thankful that they never went back into Egypt. And I'm thankful that for us this evening, that once we're saved, we can never lose our salvation, that we're secure in the hand of God. But can I encourage you this evening, we'll look at it a little bit more next Wednesday evening as we get into verse number 7. When you got saved and when I got saved, there was no promise that it was going to be a perfect road with no problems. There's a great difference between a saved person and a lost person when it comes to problems, and that is that we have someone to go with us. and someone that's able to deliver us. And we'll see that as we study into verse number 7 next week. But I want to remind you this evening that these people, the nation of Israel, that often as we study them, we can look at them and look at their faults. But if we're not careful, we can sometimes behave in the same manner. We sometimes can begin to complain and say it was easier, it was better then, and so on and so forth. But no, we have to be reminded of what God has done for us. We don't observe the Lord's Supper every single week as often as you do it. This do in remembrance of me. We don't observe the Lord's Supper every week, but can I encourage you with something? Every time you come into this church, you see those words, if you pay attention. This do in remembrance of me. And though we don't observe the Lord's Supper every single week, when you come in and you see those words, it ought to remind you of what Jesus did for you. Because without Him, we'd just be going to a lost, we would be lost going to a Christless eternity on our way to the lake of fire. And I'm thankful that God has given to us New Testament church. He's given to us an ordinance. We focus specifically this evening in making the application to the Lord's Supper, but He's given to us this ordinance that is a directive that God's given to us the manner in which we're to observe it. And He's provided with us or for us the instruction, and it reminds us of our deliverance. And so as the children of Israel would follow the directive that God gave, they would be reminded of God's deliverance. And for us this evening, as we follow the directive that God has given to us, there's a purpose in all of the directives that God gives, of all of the commandments that God gives, and He's causing us to be reminded. Every day of my life and every day of your life, we ought to praise God for our salvation. Some of you got saved younger. Some of you got saved older. Some of you got saved out of a life of just all kinds of trouble and difficulty. And some were still sinners and needed to be saved, but never experienced that level of depravity that some others have. You heard the comments of the man that was preaching on Sunday with regard to some of what he dealt with in his life and what God saved him out of. Every one of us, though, needs to be remembered that, or be reminded that we've been saved. Listen, you don't have to have had a past that's in deep sin to be thankful for being saved. Because as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us, every day of our lives, need to be thankful that God saved us. I don't deserve it, but I'm a recipient of His grace. And when you come to church, be reminded, this do in remembrance of me. See, God wanted the nation of Israel to be reminded of what He did for them. And I, as a New Testament believer, want to be reminded every day of what God did for me. I don't want to wait to just one time a year. I know we have Thanksgiving, it's November. And sometimes all of a sudden around November we get all about, well, we're supposed to be thankful people. No, we're to be thankful all the time. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen? We're to be a thankful people because God is good all the time. And this is a great reminder for the children of Israel, but we make application for us tonight and we say, thank you, God. Thank you for your deliverance. And thank you that you give us directives. And as we follow those directives, it leads us directly back to being mindful of your deliverance. And what a blessing that is. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege that you've given for us to gather this evening. We thank you for the freedom. We thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, how thankful we are that we have a Bible. And Lord, we can see the purpose here in the psalm with regard to the children of Israel and the Feast of Tabernacles. But then as we seek to make application tonight, Lord, would you help us to be mindful, to remember the deliverance that we have, the fact that we've been saved by your grace. Lord, help us to live every day with a level of gratitude and great appreciation for what you've done for us, that we're heaven-bound. So thankful that one day I'll see you face to face. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time of prayer. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you that you're God who hears and answers. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Fernando.
Good evening, everyone.